The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
All right, let's have a look at what's going on with JobKeeper. It's drawn to a close now. So what happens now? What happens to our economy? On the line, we've got Michelle Maynard, who is an accountant and partner at the Carbon Group. Michelle, thank you for being on the program this morning.
My pleasure.
So JobKeeper is over. Do you think there will be big impacts to the local economy, or are our businesses starting to get back on their feet now?
I think it's going to be a tale of two stories. For the businesses that are through the other side, JobKeeper ending is not really going to have much effect on them. But there are some businesses in Australia that really are clinging to JobKeeper, and it's the only thing keeping their staff employed. So in the February, up to February this year, there were 88,000 Australians on JobKeeper who had worked little to zero hours. So it's the employers of those people who are really going to feel this, because they're going to have to make some hard decisions about whether they can continue to support those employees without having the JobKeeper payments coming in, or whether they're going to have to let them go and, in fact, close the business. So for the majority of the economy, we are back to normal trading levels, but it's going to be the tourism and accommodation sectors, the performing arts industry, that, you know, the CBD areas that haven't had people return back to the office, that are really going to feel the withdrawal of JobKeeper last night.
I was going to ask which are the most vulnerable industries. So you've mentioned three there, and potentially the CBD traders. Are there any other businesses or industries that you think are really in the firing line here?
I think it's a lot of remote areas. So tourism is definitely the big one, because unfortunately, while a lot of us are exploring our own states and travelling a little bit, we don't spend as much money as international, interstate travellers do. You know, we take our own cars, but we don't have to hire a car or use a tour. We don't buy souvenirs. We are a little bit more cautious with our money. So it's really the tourism industry and the flow and effect from that, you know, the accommodation, the local hospitality industry. So there are going to be some real industries that are feeling this. And while there is, you know, the aviation support and tourism support package, which is encouraging us all to fly, I think it's really hard for us to make that decision at the moment, because we just don't know what's going to happen. So those ones are definitely going to be feeling the effect of JobKeeper being removed. Retail and construction and mining, you know, they're all sort of back to normal levels, if not some are better than pre-pandemic, but it's definitely performing arts. We can't put on shows like we used to. Tourism, we're not travelling like we used to. And those CBD pockets, hospitality and that don't have that foot traffic anymore, that are really going to feel this.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but I don't think I've ever seen so many tourism ads everywhere. Just on the weekend, I saw ads to go to Mildura, ads to go to Queensland, Canberra, up on the border. So it seems like everywhere is really struggling, and they've upped their advertising budgets as a result.
They have, and I think they're really, you know, trying to ask us to do that, and that's fantastic. And, you know, I really do encourage, you know, if people are thinking, what can we do to try and help businesses through JobKeeper, it basically is about spending our hard-earned money there. So, you know, go to the local restaurant, go to the local cafe, you know, coming up to Easter, if you are going to travel, you know, or if you can travel, go somewhere and make sure we're generating money in the economy. But yes, people really need us to travel right now. And I think the hard part is we don't really know what happens day to day, and, you know, if borders are going to go up or if they're going to come down, or what the rules are going to be. And I think that creates that hesitancy in us as consumers to make those plans and to book those tickets, because we don't know if this is ever changing. And while it has stayed pretty solid for a while now, it's just that what if factor that I think is going to really hurt the tourism industry, which is why they're throwing so much money at advertising.
And do you advocate, if people do travel, to go and support local businesses, sort of small business rather than big multinational chains that might be there?
Well, I think both have their place, and both are struggling, and both employ Australians. So, you know, I think whatever it is that we can do, whether that's support local or support, you know, large chains, we should be doing that. But of course, yeah, small business employs 97% of Australia's employees, you know, and if you're thinking about the overall impact, you know, that's someone's house that's on the line. It's their livelihood, you know, it's in the business owners. So not, you know, discounting the major global chains that obviously have their place and employ quite a lot of people, but, you know, we really need to support small business. They're the centre of the Australian economy. So you know, I highly recommend trying to support everybody. But if you have a choice, yes, it's the small, the dollar goes further as a small business. It, you know, and whether that be a local cafe or a restaurant or a hotel chain, you know, whatever we can do to basically generate that business. They say that Australians have stockpiled $200 billion in our savings accounts over the past 12 months. Saving for a rainy day, and you know, there was a lot of money thrown into the economy. We had JobKeeper and JobSeeker at elevated rates. We were able to withdraw $36 billion from our superannuation, and it seems as though we really stockpiled that for a rainy day because we don't know what's going to happen. So if there is the opportunity to release a little bit of those funds into the economy, that's the way that we're going to get through this and keep fellow Australians employed.
Yeah, you're right. The people were quite cautious, and I suppose when you don't know what's around the corner, people's natural reaction is to put money away and make sure that they're going to be safe. So how confident can people be that we may be through the big part of COVID-19 and a vaccine is on the horizon in terms of its rollout, getting to the majority of the population? Should we feel confident, do you think, about the resilience of our economy?
If you look at how we've gone to date, Australia has done brilliantly. We're almost at 97% of the economic trading that we were pre-pandemic. You know, our unemployment rate is just below 6%. Now, obviously, a lot of those people are, were supported by JobKeeper up until last night. So they're predicting that 150,000 Australians are going to be out of work over the next coming weeks as a result of, they're calling it a shift from people moving off of JobKeeper. And it really is, I hear a tale, you know, a different tale. You know, some small business owners are saying, we can't find staff. We've had ads out for ages. You know, the actual job advertisements are up 7% on this time last year. But the, you know, every job that's going, there are about 60 applicants looking for that job. So I think the economy really has recovered a lot better than what we thought it was going to. They were estimating around this time there would have been 1.3 million Australians on JobKeeper, when in fact there was only 1.17. So I think, you know, we are doing a lot better, but it is a rapidly changing game. We see, you know, these little clusters, if they do break out, it can shut things down quite rapidly. So with the arrival of the vaccine on our shores, you know, with the international borders still being shut for a while, you know, it looks like things are on the way up, and hopefully it will continue that way. I think the real challenge will be when those international borders come down, what that means for us when people from other countries are coming into Australia, and what that happens to change our COVID situation. But yes, we should be really proud of how the economy has gone. We are one of the best in the world, and there really is that confidence in from the consumer and from the business, what has been up until this point. I think now the next few weeks will really tell, you know, be really showing as to what is actually going on out there, because there have been some businesses that have been kept alive by JobKeeper that unfortunately will have to shut.
I was watching the ABC's Insiders program yesterday, and there was a bit of a debate around whether businesses that turned a profit during this time should have to pay back their JobKeeper payments. And I thought it was an interesting discussion, but I suppose if the business has been profitable during that time, it doesn't necessarily mean that each job that was protected by JobKeeper was in itself viable and staff wouldn't have been laid off.
It really interesting conversation, especially about large corporate Australia. You know, we saw Toyota gave back $18 million voluntarily, and there's no legal obligation for these companies to do that. They met the criteria for JobKeeper back in March or April, which allowed them to stay on the program for 6 months, no matter how their profit turned. But there really is a real conversation about whether there's a moral obligation on these corporations to return that money. The government data actually shows about 75% of employees who were supported by JobKeeper weren't at any real risk of losing their job in the first place. But because the measure had to be introduced so quickly, there wasn't a real chance to fine-tune it to the point that they needed to make sure that there wasn't that overspend, really. But yeah, it's a really interesting conversation. But I suppose my question to that is, you know, these large corporations kept millions of Australians employed. You know, what would have the flow-on effect have been if they hadn't got that? But also, where does the moral obligation end? Is it only for large corporate Australia, or is it for the local mum and dad trade business who got JobKeeper but then had a bumper year because, you know, everyone was staying at home and wanted to renovate their house? So really interesting conversation, and I think it's one that's going to be around the water cooler for a while. The large corporations are definitely more open and public about who received it and who had a big turn in profit because they have to report their figures publicly. But there are quite a few small businesses in Australia who have had the same thing happen, and they won't be returning their JobKeeper either.
For the people that are listening today who may have found themselves unemployed as a result of JobKeeper ending, what's your advice to those people?
Yeah, I really do feel for those people because this is completely out of their hands and not anything that they could do. First things first is if you haven't already, you need to register with Human Services if you think, which is the new name for Centrelink, if you think you're going to qualify for the Job Seeker payment, because while the process takes several weeks, they will backdate it to the day that you lodged your claim. So if you need that government support, get on the phone with them or do it online to at least start the clock ticking as to when you can go back. Take real stock of your financial situation and realise that Job Seeker, if you are going to be eligible for that, is a lot less than what JobKeeper was. It's only, I think it's $615 a fortnight when people may have been receiving $1,000 a fortnight on JobKeeper. So you are going to have to adjust the budget. Get on the front foot with anybody that you make repayments to. So whether that's your mortgage or you've got personal loans, car loans, whatever that is, your utilities even, and discuss the situation with them and make some arrangements. They do have hardship provisions. So if you don't get any joy from them, there is the National Debt Helpline, which has free financial counselling that can help you step through that. Lastly, there is a lot of free or online courses at the moment, and I think a lot of people are going to have to retrain and reskill and possibly enter a new career path that they weren't thinking about, you know, a year ago. So take advantage of those and try and update the resume to put you ahead of other applicants. But, you know, really take care of yourself. It's a very stressful time for a lot of people right now. Reach out if you need help to those around you or the government support services and take it one day at a time. You know, there's really a lot of help out there that, you know, you can access. So just try and wade through that and find people that can help you.
And the advice to people on the business side, particularly sole traders?
Yeah, sole traders and small business owners are the people I deal with every day, and I've had some really hard conversations with them over the past year. Sole traders, you know, their whole personal lives and their personal assets are at risk if their business goes under. So it's about getting some support and advice on how your business is, what's the possibility of trading through this, can you mothball your business for a while until things pick up. I've had sole trader clients who've gone to, you know, ride sharing or, you know, getting a job or using their skills if they're, say, a marketing, to go and doing some marketing consulting in an employee type role. But don't get yourself in too big of a hole that you can't get out of, because obviously it's going to affect your personal assets. So same thing with small business owners. Speak to your advisors, get advice about how business is going. If you have to let staff go, make sure you consult, you know, an employment relations lawyer or the industry bodies to see what the steps are to do that, to make sure that you are doing it legally, because the last thing you need is to have a claim made against you that you've done something wrong. It's really about getting to know your financials and knowing, you know, how long you can trade for, what sort of position you're in, and then again taking it day by day and finding the next path out of this. It may be some businesses have to close, it may be that they pivot and change their offering, or it could be that they just, you know, have to reduce things for a while until trade picks up, but definitely get that advice.
And when businesses do close down, and I'm thinking particularly in the tourism sector, how quickly can they bounce back and ramp things up again once tourism starts again? Because if businesses that have been there for a long time close down, does that create, I suppose, green fields and new opportunity for new people entering into the market and shake things up a bit, which may be one of the small silver linings that comes from a very, very hard time for a lot of people?
The key to a business bouncing back is definitely people and having people to employ. So in the tourism industry, if a lot of those people who are going to find jobs elsewhere, if there's not staff available at the ready to go, then yes, it may be quite hard. But it does, unfortunately, they call them zombie businesses. There's been quite a few businesses that have been mothballed by JobKeeper that should have possibly closed a year ago that have stayed alive because of it. And yes, some of those will close, but as you said, it's a great opportunity for people, you know, that are new or innovative, or, you know, that see an opportunity within the market once trade and tourism bounce back, that will be able to venture into business ownership and try something new. So I know there are going to be people out there in certain pockets of the country and in certain industries that are very hurting by JobKeeper being removed. There are going to be some this won't affect at all, but, you know, overall the economy is looking quite good. Obviously, once the more normal, in inverted commas, as we can return with people coming into Australia and travelling interstate, things will get back on track. So we just have to hold out until that happens, and hopefully the economy will get back to, you know, as normal as it was 12 months ago.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Michelle Maynard with us there, accountant and partner at Carbon Group.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.